Okay, we're starting right now from the Mishnah on top of Yud Zayin. I'm an Aleph. The Mishnah states, "If you remember, we have said before, and we discussed the idea that the Megillah, the Sota, has a number of things that go inside of it. It has the water. It has the dirt we mentioned. I mean, that dirt versus ash, not ash. We said Dafka dirt. We said it's got to be enough dirt to be recognizable in the actual." In the actual kli that it's there. And then we mentioned you have to erase something, some words into there. So what are you erasing? You're erasing the Megillah Sota, it's called, which is the words in the Torah that describe the Sota passage. On the side of my Gemara, I've written all the psukim that are quoted in the Gemara. It's called Mikrai Kodesh. I'm going to read you the psukim that are there so you can understand better what we're talking about. It says, Vishviya Osa Kohen. Again, I'm looking at those of you who have a Gemara like mine. It's right over here, the side of the Gemara. It's like in the Mikra Kodesh, quoting the Psukim inside. So it says, "Vishbi osa kohen, v'yamar la'isha imlo shachav ish osach v'imlo satis tumah tachas ishech, yinakim me'amarim hamarim ha'ela." The Kohen makes her swear and says to her, "If you have not lied with another man, you have not strayed and become tame from your husband, then you'll be hinaki, you'll be clean from these waters that are accursed waters." But the at, again, the pasuk goes on. Kisatis tachas yishech, if you did in fact stray, v'chinit meis, and you were defiled, you were impure. V'yitein ish bach es shechavto b'baal day yishech, and you let another man sleep with you besides your husband. V'yishbi ha-kohen asa isha b'shuvasa Allah. So the Kohen swears with a swearing of a curse. V'amar le-kohen l'isha, v'yitein Hashem osach le'alav l'shuva, Hashem will grant you, will give to you a curse. Among your nation, Hashem will make your thighs fall, your stomach swell. We mentioned that's not the order it actually happens in, that's the order that she did it in, so that's why it talks this way. And then the Torah goes on, and these waters will come into your stomach, let's both bet in, the order it happens in, to make your stomach swell and your thigh fall. And the woman says, Amen, Amen. Okay. That's the psukim that are written in the Torah about Sota. It says over here, when you're writing the Megillah Sota, which you're going to erase in the waters, me'ezim makam ukosiv. What do you write down? You take a parchment, you write something down in it. What are you writing down from the whole passage we just read? What part goes into the actual parchment that gets erased into the waters? So me'im lo shachav ish, etc. But gomer, the atkis satis tachas yishech, etc. The part that says over here, if you did not lie with another man, then you'll be hinaki, you'll be clean. And if you did love another man, what's going to happen there as well? Meaning all the curses that are described over here, you write down. You do not write down when it says that the Kohen makes her swear. That's just describing the scene. You don't write that part down. The kosev, then you skip and you write again the next part, which is, you write the next part of the cursing down, that the waters will go inside and affect you in this way. But you don't write down, you don't write that the woman says, amen, amen. Like imagine for a second, just as an example, if you're reading a Shakespeare play. So when you read the play, they have the actual words. They say sometimes, you know, actor exits stage left. You don't write that part you don't say that part in the actual play. It's just what happens. Similarly over here as well, the part that you're putting in the water and erasing are the parts of what's going to happen. Not when it says the Kohen makes her swear. That's like actor exit stage left. That part's not mentioned in the actual Megillah that you write and erase in the waters. Only the promises and the curses. That's what's written in the Megillah Sota. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, who the Gemara will describe as Rabbi Meir very soon. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lo Hayamafsik. Rabbi Yossi says no. When you start writing, the first thing you write of Im Shachav Lo Shachav Ish, etc. The very beginning. It's like the second line we have right after the words Vishbi Osa Kohen Bamar Isha Im Lo Shachav Ish Osach. That entire thing from Im Lo Shachav, you write the entire thing, and you don't stop. You don't stop until the very, very end. So you write the entire passage, and you include even the words Amen Amen, the Amar Isha Amen Amen. That part's all in it. So again, once you start writing it, Rabbi Yossi says you don't stop. You write the entire passage that's remaining, even the part that says. And the Kohen says this, and the Isha says that. You write that also, even though it's not what's actually happening right now, but you write it down in the waters, and that is erased and drinks as well. Yossi is the most ink spilled in the waters, according to Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda has the least. Remember, we quoted that earlier on, if you remember. Akiva quoted it earlier. If Akiva, remember how you quoted Rabbi Yehuda earlier on, that he has the least amount. How do we know that he has the least amount of ink? Remember how we knew? Akiva? You said the last time we were together.
Right.
Also, his least amount of what, Akiva? Least amount of?
Writing and the least amount of water.
Excellent. Very good. He requires least amount of water because he has least amount of writing. We talked about the water already. Now here's the writing part. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Atzma Eino Kosev. You don't write most of this. You don't write much of this. Meaning he himself, Kol Atzma, he was telling that I don't write all these things. I wouldn't write all these things in the Megillah. El Yitin Hashem Osach, Elav L'Shua, Uva Mayim HaMa'ari, Ma'ila B'Me'ayach. You only write from the middle part of it, where you say the curses. The curses being that Hashem should make these waters curse to you, and the waters should impact you and affect you. That's all you write. You don't write why it happens, because you were impure. You don't write if you weren't impure. None of that. You just write what the waters are going to do to you. The curse of the waters. And you don't write, you don't write the last part either, when the woman agrees. So we have her now in the mission. Daf Yud Zayin Aleph, again, has three opinions what you write. Again, you have a earthenware piece, a cup. Machokas, whether it be used the first time right now or it's been used beforehand. You have clean water. It's taken from the cure. Where did the cure get it from? Either Rabbi Shmuel said it was like spring water the first time being used, or it could be other waters that were in the water basin in the cure. You put dirt in it. Question: is it dirt or ash? And where does dirt come from? Does it come from under the slab of marble in the Mishkan, or could it even come from outside the Mishkan? Machlokas, Isi ben Yehuda, Isi ben Menachem, we quoted earlier on. And you put enough dirt in there in order to be seen. We mentioned there are three things, maybe even four, that one has to see. When you do the action, that have to be seen. And where they were the four of the three or four things that have to be seen? They have to be enough to see them. Who remembers what they were? Give me one of them. Akiva, what do you got? Without any noises. No noises. Give me no noises.
Oh. Isn't it when they see it happening?
So what do they have to see? What did they see happen? What did they see, be enough to see, to notice? What were those? We had three things, maybe even a fourth. And you made noises for one of them, so that's a hint to you.
Spitting.
Good. The spitting of the Yavama. Who else have another one of them? We have over here the dirt of the Sota. What else do we have? Yosef. What another one we had, Yosef? Remember?
I don't remember.
What do you want? Call a friend. Who are you calling? Who's your friend you're calling?
I'll go to Aaron.
Aaron, what do you got for us, Aaron?
The blood for the bird that they chef for the Mitzvah that they made.
That was a possible blood. One. And Aaron, what was the last one that everyone agreed on?
The Afer and the Paradigma.
Excellent. Very good. Super. Okay. So we have over here, this is what happens. Now we also have in the waters of Sota a fourth, another component, which is the words that you erase. What do you erase? Machlokas. Only the curses of what's going to happen to the lady, or the entire passage minus all the descriptive parts of the what's called the Tzavos of the commandments of the Kohen to do this. He should do that. That part's not mentioned there. Acker exit stage left is not mentioned. Yossi says no. Once you start it, you say everything there, including Acker exit stage left. Okay. What are we arguing about? They're arguing about the same pasuk. They're all the same pasuk. They're all arguing about this pasuk. The pasuk says the kasav es ha'alos ha'ila ha'kohen b'sefer, that the kohen writes in the sefer, in the parchment, these alos ha'alos. Ha'ela. Those are the two key words. Ha, alos, ha, ela. I did that for a reason. There are four things here to focus on. The hey of the word alos, the word alos, the hey of the word ela, and the word ela. How does that play a role into our machlokas? So, Rabbi Meir, who's a Tanakama, who, to remind you again, held that you say all of the actual things that are spoken and that are going to happen, but not when it says the Kohen says or the woman says. Rabbi Meir Savar, alos means alos mamash. When it says the word alos, it means all the cursed part. Whatever it says, the cursing, the bad stuff is going to happen, that's what the word alos means. You write that. But when it says the word over here, ha alos, an extra hey in the word alos, that hey comes in l'rabos to add on klalos habos machmas brachos. The klalos, the curses that come through the bracha. What does that mean? The bracha said earlier, if you are innocent, then you'll be hinaki, you'll be clean of the waters. That's a bracha. That's a bracha. Which means if you're guilty, then you'll not be clean of the waters, then the waters will hurt you. So the bracha has an understood klala attached to it. Meaning, I say, if you pass this test, I'm going to give you the job. What that means is if you fail the test, you don't get the job. So that itself has a curse attached to it. I'm saying it in a positive way, but there is a curse way attached to it as well. And therefore, it's also like a curse. So therefore, the extra hey in the halos comes to include that you write the bracha part of this discussion. Because if you didn't keep your word, then that bracha turns into a klal. So even though it's written as a bracha, you write it anyways into this into the parchment. That's what the word ha, that's what the letter ha teaches you. So ha alos is the curses, and even the brachas that will turn curse if you didn't do the right thing. Both those are written in it. How about ha ela? So says the Gemara further, back to Rabbi Meir's opinion still. The word ela means these you write. Lama'ute klalo shemishna Torah means you don't write every curse that's found in the Chumash. You don't write the lama'ute to exclude the curses that are found in the Mishnah Torah in Sefer Devarim, in Parshas Kisavo. You don't, even though it calls it there an Allah, it also calls it a curse. The same word is used, but of course you don't write those curses down. It's nothing to do with our discussion. But the word Allah is used, and we want to make sure you know not every Allah in the Torah do you write down. Only the ones that are relevant to our Sota. So the word Eila means not the ones that are found in Mishnah Torah. And the extra hey of ha'ila, l'ma'ute tzavos v'kabalos amin. That comes to exclude the part that says the commandments. Vishbiya ha'kohen. You know, but the kohen does this. So that part's not written. That's the accurate extra stage left. The word ha, the letter ha, means don't include that in there. And it also comes to limit, don't include the kabalos amin. When the woman says, you know, the isha accepts and says amin, amin, that's also not written there because the letter hey. So we have again, ha, ha alos ha ela. The hey of ha alos teaches you that even the brachos that'll become cursed if they didn't do her job, that's written there. Alos is the actual curses of the paragraph of Sota. Ha in the next part of ha ela. Ha means don't include the parts that are more descriptive, not of what's gonna happen, but the Kohen must do this. The commandments of the Kohen do this, the Isha do that is not in there. And the word Eila means Davka, the alos that are found in our parsha of Sota, and not the ones that are found in the discussion of the Mishnah Torah, even though they're called alos as well, they're called curses as well. Okay, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Now, everyone uses the same sukkim. So what are we going to see besides that? Rabbi Yossi is back, Kulu Kiddika Amart. Everything is the way we just said it, meaning all the limudim of all the inclusions, the ha, alos, are exactly what we said. But the word S, the word S, because it says the word in the pasuk, it says the word, which S is this? I'm sorry. Not that part. S halos ha'ila. Is that what it says there? One second, I'm trying to find it. Yeah, S halos ha'ila. So the word S over here, is an inclusion. There's no reason to write that. Because right, because of halos ha'ila. What does the word S mean? It says it comes to include that which the ha'ila, the extra hey there, you thought was excluding, which was all the tzavos. It comes to include them. Again, S, l'rabos, tzavos, v'kabalos. Rabbi Yossi, again, to remind you what he said. He's agreed with Rabbi Meir that you start the way you started. Rabbi Meir said he kept on skipping certain parts that were more, you know, exit actor stage left. So that part, he says, no, that part you also write. You write the part Vish B'Yakoin. You write over here the part that says on it as well, the Amra Ha'isha. You write those parts in it as well. And again, the reason why is because the word S comes to include this part that Rabbi Meir said should be excluded, it's included. So you have the word again, S, Rabbi Yossi says here, includes all those things. Ha, alos, includes the brachos and includes the klalos. And the word Eila excludes the klalos of Mishnah Torah. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion.
Rav,
yeah.
I have a question. Why would, according to Rabbi Yossi, it say ha Eila?
Excellent. Excellent question. If we say the word, why we need the word S here? To combat the hey. Just don't have S, don't have hey. That's Ellie's question. If you want to tell me that the whole reason why you have the word S there is to include the tzavos and the kabalos, which we only exclude because there's a hey there in ha'ila, then just don't have the S, don't have the hey. Excellent question. What I was thinking, one second, let me see if it says over here. Rashi referenced. Look at Rashi over here. It says Kula Ribuya Dikitka Martz. He references your question. I don't know if it's a great answer, but he definitely is. He's bothered by the same thing you're bothered by, Ellie. Excellent question. Look what it says over here. It says Alos. You see where I am over here? Kitka Martz. Rashi there. It's smack in the middle of the page. Kitka Martz. You guys see where I am? It's the word Kulu Ribuya Kitka Martz. Yeah, okay. Alos means Alos Mamash. The curses are the curses. Ha Alos, the extra hey, is the Klalos Bos Machmas Brachos. That we saw already. Eila, the Mu'utei Shav Mishnah Torah. What so far so good? Mishnah Torah is Kohanim, as well as the other stuff that's found in Vayikra that's also curses. Aval hey deha Eila, this is over here with Ellie's question. Lo Tidrosh, the Mu'utei Tavos Kabalos. The hey there don't make a drasha. De Asa Esver Abinu. Because the S comes along and it tells you, include them. So what's the hey doing there, it says Ellie. V'hei deha'elel orchehu. It means that's how you write it. It's just that's the normal, Rabbi Yossi feels. That's the normal way to write it. It could have said ha'alos eile. But it's more natural, ha'alos ha'eile. If you remember, we had this idea earlier on, daf like Gimel, way back in the day. We said sometimes when you add in a chiddush for a drasha, we have to add it in its entirety, even though it's only there for a small piece of it. The word Eila was necessary. Eila had to be these, although it's not other ones. Ha'ila is how you write it properly. That's how it should be written. That's how it sounds more appropriate. So even though it is confusing, the word S tells you don't get confused by it, but it's an excellent question. Get it? Good answer? Fair? Okay, excellent question. Back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Remeir, what do you say back to that point? Esim lo darish. Remeir does not hold that every S gets a drusha. Right? Meir, who said the word ha'ila, the hey was significant. How about the S? The S, he's not darish. He doesn't learn out every S means something. And therefore, it's like more of a, again, S is like a grammatical need. And it's not there for a drusha, says Rabbi Meir. Okay, now that's Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Yossi. How about Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, kulub mi'ute darish lu. Rabbi Yehuda, everything for him is a mute. Again, Rabbi Yehuda had the less, as Akiva told us, the smallest amount of water, smallest amount of ink. Because all these psukim, besides the words alos, all the parts, ha, and then ha, and ela, are all coming to limit what should be written in the Megillah Sota. Lemeute, let's see how. Kula meute dar shiluhu. Alos is alos mamash. Alos is what we thought it was. It's the curses. What's the water going to do to you? Ha alos, the extra hey there. Lemeute klaus habos machmas brachos. That hey actually tells you, dafka alos. But not the things that will turn to alos. Meaning, when it says a bracha, if you're innocent, you'll be clean, which means you're guilty, you'll be in trouble. That's a bracha. We don't write that part in. It means if you're dirty, yeah, but it doesn't say that. So the hey of only alos, the alos means alos, and not the brachos that might turn into alos later on. That's what the hey limits the alos that are there because the bracha didn't become a bracha in the end. That's not part of it. And then we have over here Eila. Like we have earlier, Lemute Klalos Rishon Torah, as we said earlier, and Ha'i Lemute Tavalsu Kabbalos. So we have again, he follows the psak really of the Tanakama of Rabbi Meir, but he argues with the Hey of Ha'alos. The Hey of Ha'alos is not coming to include the Tavos and the Kabbalos Amein. It's coming to exclude those things. Davka the Alos, sorry, not the Tavos. It's coming to the Hey meant to include even the Bracha that turns into a Klala. He says, no, it's coming to exclude that. That part's not included either. Just the alos, nothing more than that. That's where they all get the same sukkim, and they argue about how to darshan out the words ha alos ha eila. Rabbi Meir is now difficult for us. Why? Because Rabbi Meir seems to be inconsistent. Rabbi Meir had the letter hey being inclusive sometimes and exclusive other times. Ha alos, the hey meant to include the brachos, right? The klalos that comes from the brachos, but ha eila meant to exclude the tzavos and kabbalos. So Rabbi Meir, make up your mind. Rabbi Meir, Maishna Hai Hei, the Marbi Bey. Why is this letter Hei using as an inclusive? It includes the brachos that could turn into kolos. Maishna Hai Hei, this Hei, this Ha'ela, the Marbi Bey, that becomes an exclusive statement, not inclusive. We limit even the Tzavos and Kabbalos. So the Gemara, very simple. Hei, the Gabei, Ribuye, Ribuye, the Hei of a word that's a Ribuy word, that's an inclusive word. So that hey takes on the character of the word. It's also inclusive. Hey de gabe de miute, miute. But the hey that's coming on and attached to a mute word, like the word eila, it becomes a mute as well. So the hey is a is an ambiguous word. It can play either role. We actually have, remember, we have this also in certain areas, I think, in Maseches Pesachim. You get certain words in Pesachim that, depending on the context, can mean certain things. Right? There are certain times when you look at the context. So the letter hey is expanding the word it's commenting on. If it's an inclusive word, it makes it more inclusive. If it's exclusive, it makes it more exclusive. So that depends on how the letter is, what word is attached to. Okay. We're now going to be upset, a little bit bothered by Rabbi Meir's statement he had above. Rabbi Meir said that when it says in the Pasuk that if you were innocent, then you will, you know, the waters won't affect you. So we say, but that implies that if you were guilty, it would affect you. And therefore, that's not really a klal also. So v'ha, let's say Rabbi Meir, michlal avatasha mehein. Does Rabbi Meir not hold by the concept from the bad, you learn the good, meaning you can be midayik, the Rashi here explains that it means something called a tznai kufel. A tznai kufel means you have to say something over in a double lashon. Like if I would say, lashon you use is like this. If you lashon that was used for, we actually had this in Maseches Sota. If you can tell me when, that'd be awesome. We had a reference to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Remember we had that beforehand, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, but them going to fight for Klal Yisrael. Remember we had that beforehand. We have that by us. Maybe that was in Maseches Pesachim, I think, actually. I think it was Maseches Pesachim. It had to be the word avar. The word avar means beforehand. Let's forget about it. It's a Pesachim issue, not a Sot issue. Anyways, the people, Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, were the tribes that stayed on the other side of the Yarden. And when they asked for this, for the quest to stay on the other side of the Yarden, Moshe Rabbeinu was very hesitant. And in the end, they let him do it, but they had a rule. They have to come first and help the battle. And this is the lashon that was used. Im yavru, if you will pass in front, if you will go in front and you will fight in front of us, then you can take the land. Im lo yavru, but if you don't, then you can't. So it said in both directions. So does Rabbi Meir not hold by this din? Rabbi Meir in Maseches Kiddushin holds that if it's not a tznai kufel, it's not a double, kufel means double, kefil, if it's not a double stated tznai, it doesn't count. And therefore, you have to say it in both directions. If you say, if you are clean, then the waters won't affect you. That's not a curse. The curse is when you say the second side. And if you're not clean, right? Meir demands the second half of the statement to make it the negative. He doesn't rely on the first half. He doesn't say, if you go in front of us, you get the land. He then says also, and if you don't, you won't get the land. So over here as well, Ray Meir, less than Ray Meir, does he not hold by this idea that from the lav, you learn the hain, but not the other way around? You can't say from the hain, from the positive, you learn the negative. You have to do what's called a tznai kufel. So where's the negative statement that lets me learn from the positive? I can't go straight from positive and be medayik, the negative. I have to have the positive and also the negative written down there. So what about that problem? Rabbi Meir shouldn't be able to use the understood klala. Understood is not enough. You have to actually state the klala. So I'm Rabbi Tanchum, hinaki ksiv. Again, when the words were describing, if you're clean, it says hinaki. If you're innocent of hinaki, you'll be clean. Rashi points out that it's written without an extra yud. It could have had an extra yud there. Hinaki could have been hey yud, nun kuf yud. But it doesn't have that way. It says Rashi, the reason why, and it's funny what the Gemara over here means, because it can be written as chinaki, the word chenek, the word strangulation, which means that even though it's not written explicitly this way, it's written in a certain way to give us that reference also of chenek. So you have right now actually a positive and negative statement to this pasuk. Again, the pasuk says, "Im lo shachav ish osach, v'im lo satis tumatachas ishech, hinaki, you will be innocent." But it's also written as chinaki. It's written without the yud, so you can read it as chinaki. And therefore, and otherwise, you'll be strangled. You'll die a suffocating death. That's what it could have been written, understood as well. So therefore, even though normally you write out the other side of it, here it's just reference, but that's a veiled reference is enough for every merit to feel that this has in it both a bracha, but also a klala is written there as well. The chinaki, you can write that in the, erase that in the waters. That's klala-esque. Okay. Darsh Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva darshens out. Isha zachu shchina b'nehen. Lo zachu eish ochalten. Rabbi Akiva darshens out that if a man and woman are doing well, they're communicating properly, they merit. So the shchina dwells with them. But otherwise, an eish will consume them. Where do you get that from? The word ish and the word isha. It's the same letters except for one difference, that the letter, the ish has an extra yud and the ish has extra hey. That's Shem Hashem. So if you have the Isha and the Isha behaving properly, then the Shem Hashem, the Shekhinah, is among them. But if you take out the Shekhinah, because not being brought properly, you have H and H. And then we have an H that will consume them in the end. Amarava, Udi Isha, Adifa Medi Ish, but the Isha's H is stronger, meaning it's quicker to act than the Ish. Why? Hi Mitzarif, Ila Mitzarif, because the Ish, the letter is H, the word fire is found in the woman's name already. The Hay's at the end of it. But there's already, the letter H is already written in the woman's name. The Ish has a Yud breaking it up. So Mitzarif means it's already joined together. The Aleph and the Shin to create the word H is already combined in the woman's name. It has a Hay at the end to change the meaning, but it's already combined. But for the Ish, there's a Yud in the middle, so it's broken up. So therefore, if you take away Shem Hashem, the woman's name already says Ish at it. And therefore, it's already going to be, the word Isha has the word Ish right here there. It's going to be quicker. The word Ish has a Yud in the middle, and there spells Ish without it, but it's less quick to react. Okay. Amarav, Ma Amar Torah Haba Have Afar Lasota. Why does the Torah say, why does the Torah feel that you should bring Afar as part of the ingredients for the Sota? The verse is the following. Zachsa Yotzim Mena Ben Ki Avram Avinu. Because if she's innocent, then she'll have a child, and the word Afar is there because it's a reference to Avram Avinu. She'll have a child like Avram Avinu. Dichsiv Bey, Afar Ve'Efer. Avram says, Anochi Afar Ve'Efer, when he's trying to speak to Hashem and encourage Hashem to be merciful on Sodom and Amorah, he says, Hashem, Anochi Afar Ve'Efer. So because he says the word Afar, so we put Afar there, that your child should be like Afar if innocent, like Avram Avinu, and Lo Zachsa, and also if the woman's not innocent and she's guilty, Taksra la'afra, she will go back to dirt. She came from dirt and she'll go back to dirt. It means she'll die. Again, Rava, another drasha. Jarash Rava, Biskar Shamar Avram Avinu, back to this pasuk now, Vanuchi Avram Efer, because Avram said this pasuk, he was so humble. Zachu Banav L'Shtei Mitzvot, his children merited two mitzvahs, one about Afar, one about Efer. Efer, Para of Afar Sota, the Efer, the ash of the Paraduma, and the Afar of the Sota. I says the Gemara, but you cannot.
Why is it so merit?
Oh, we
said before that we don't want to do that.
Great question. We'll see that in a minute. Excellent question.
Okay.
The Gemara is going to ask the question. You'll see in 1 minute from now. It says the Gemara, I have ikanami afar kisur adam. We had earlier on afar kisur adam. So where do we have boys afar kisur adam before we have that beforehand? Afar kisur adam. Remember where we had that?
Did we say that you? You were supposed to cover the thing, but then we said you don't like do that in the end.
Excellent.
That's one of the things that
we
don't do.
One of the three cases where the Torah says one thing and we don't do exactly that one thing. What are the other two? Who's got another one for me? Give me another one, boys. Who's got another one for me? The other two, when they're exceptions, the Torah seems to say X, and really the din is Y. Remember what they were. Remember, Ellie, what they were?
Nazir.
Excellent. Nazir, we said it was a tar, it says a razor. But it could be any cutting instrument. What's the last one, boys? The last one. Who remembers the last one for me? Aaron or Aaron? Aaron, what do you got?
Ready to death.
What's that? Aaron?
Ready to death.
Well, I think that Aaron has the speaker version, the speaking Aaron's ear.
It's writing a get.
Writing a get. Thank you. Yeah, the good choice to go back. I like that. Going back instead of front. That was an awkward moment. I like that. Anyway, it's writing the get. It says a sefer, but it can really be anything at all. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Excellent, guys. Couldn't be prouder. So we'll get to Ellie's question in a minute, but it says, isn't there also afar of kisur adam? Why isn't that part of this list that Avraham Avinu was zocha as children to get? It's more, no, awesome. Over there, hechsher mitzvah. There, by kisur adam, it's a hechsher mitzvah, meaning it allows you to do shechita on a chaya and an oaf properly. But there's no actual hana from that mitzvah. But by us, and therefore, again, hasam hechsher mitzvah ika hana aleka. There is no hana. There is no more benefit. Now, Eli asked, what was the zchus? What was the schar? What was the benefit? The word schar means some benefit in this world and the next world. What's the benefit of the afar? We know the benefit of the Rashi here points out. The benefit of the afar, the para, is you become pure. What's the benefit of the afar of the sota? So there's two benefits, or really three benefits. One benefit is that if she's guilty, you don't have mamzerim in the world. She dies and the child that will be born is not born. And if she's innocent, you have two benefits also. Number one, her husband now knows she's innocent. It was an unbelievable idea that the Yaakov Kamenetsky brings down in Emes Yaakov. Why Kodesh Baruch Hu Dafka chose this mitzvah to kind of flex and show the din? Hashem, why doesn't Hashem do every single court case like this? You know, you have a monetary dispute. So it's, let's say Eli and Yosef have a machlokas who owes who money. let them drink, both drink waters, and one of them will have like a strange sign, boom, you know, something pops on his forehead, and you're guilty. Why do we always do that? So usually Hashem doesn't want to involve himself in the matters of this world, at least not this way. But the problem is, imagine the following scene. You know, O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder. He was. The courts acquitted him. Did he do it? Probably. Probably. So let's say in the end, you know, he was, he didn't, keep it in sense, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. But let's even say that his wife survived, his wife wasn't killed, and only that guy, I think his name is Ron Goldman, I think his name is something like that, was killed. So imagine now, and he goes back to his wife. His wife thinks that he killed someone. He killed her boyfriend. He said, I didn't kill him, right? The glove didn't fit. You must have quit. And she's like, well, I mean, it didn't fit, but like, I think you might have done it. He's like, well, innocent. Listen to me, the court found me innocent. So she wouldn't be so comfortable probably being with him anymore, probably. Imagine a man's married to a woman, and they go to a whole court case. And in that court case, the courts find the woman innocent. But the husband has second thoughts on this one. He's not really confident. So he's not going to be loving his wife. His wife and him are going to have beef. They're going to have breaks. It's not going to be so simple. So God has broken the biggest favor. He showed the man, your wife, I'm telling you she's innocent. And therefore, you can rely on that. And that's the reason why there's a scar in that. Not to mention the fact that if she actually is innocent, she'll have a kid as well. So there are many, there are three different levels of scar that the offer sota does bring to this relationship and to this to the world, really. Okay. Right, Ellie, make sense? Okay. Next part, Rava again. Rava's on a roll. He darshes a new thing now. Darsh Rava b'schar shamar Avraham Avinu im michut v'atzroch nal. Avraham Avinu gets scar for saying after the he helped the kings and he saved his nephew Lot. He saved him from the he's helped the other kings and killed those kings. So he says, when they want to give him spoils, he says, no, I'm not going to take any, I'm not even going to take a chut or a sroch now. I'm not going to take a string or a strap. I'm not going to take anything from the spoils of war. No one should say that they made me wealthy. Hashem makes me wealthy, not you. But he said, from a thread to a strap. What does that mean? Because he said those words, zachu banav l'b'shei mitzvos. So his children are zocher the two mitzvos they get. And they have schuyos, these mitzvos. Chut shel tchelis, ritzua shel tfilin. They get the string of tchelis, the string of the sitzus tchelis, and they get the strap of tefillin. Now again, whenever we say the word schar, it means schar, this world and the next world. Where do we see a schar in this world for those mitzvahs? Says Gemara Bishlam, Ritzua Shel Tefillin, we find that the strap of tefillin is a big schar. It says, V'ra'u kol ha'amei aretz, kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that the nations of the world will see the name of God written upon you. The time we learn a brisa, what does that mean? Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer, Elu Tefillin Shabarosh. The tefillin of Rosh are what they're going to see, and they're going to be in awe of us. They're going to see us with tefillin, and they're going to be in awe of us. They're going to be afraid of us. That's the scar in this world. There's an intimidation factor. People are they respect. They should respect us when they see the tefillin shel Rosh that a person wears. Eluchut shel tchelis mahi. What is exactly this? What does the string of tchelis do for us in this world? So the time of the Nebraisa, Hari Meir Omer, Manishana tchelis mikol minei tzivonin. Why dafka was tchelis the color chosen from all colors in the world to be put in the sitzus string? Meisha tchelis dom liyam. Yam dom lirakia. Rakia dom lakisa kavod. Because the tchelis is like this, the color of the waters of the ocean. And the waters of the ocean are similar to the waters to the color of the sky. And the sky is similar to the color of the kisa kavod. As it says, Shanemar, Vayiru es Eloke Yisrael Batachas Raglav, that they saw the God of Israel is referred to at the time of Matan Torah, and under his feet is whatever this means was a livnat sapir, was a sapphire block, and it was etzem hashemayim kletohar, and it was like the color of the sky in its purity. And it says uksiv b'kimaria evan sapir d'mus kisei. And this, and the kisei of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was like this Evan Sapir, the sapphire stone that was like the Shemaim. So the Shemaim is like kisei HaKavod, and therefore we have a schar. What's the schar there? Why is that a schar? So there's two answers. I thought. What I saw written in Rashi is that, or the idea mentioned in Rashi is that it means that when you wear the tcheles, then you have the Shekhinah that's dwelling with you in this world as well. You feel the Shekhinah among you, and that's a schar. That's a world. In this world also, you get that schar. The upshot you could have is that when you see the tzitzis, you're automatically thinking of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It helps you think of Hashem. Why is that a scar in this world? because it helps me behave better in this world. It helps me be more focused on Hashem in this world. Sometimes when I get in the world, I'm distracted. Again, many of you guys who you know, benes manim, you were not in yeshiva on a regular basis. You could get distracted sometimes. It's easier you're distracted when you're not focused on a Kadosh Baruch in the world. So tzitzis is a schar for us, and it helps us be focused on Hashem at all times. If we have that tchelis string, it makes us think about Kadosh Baruch Hu, the kisei kavod, the shemayim, and that's something that's a big schar in this world. Okay, the bottom of Yizayim Aleph. This next part, this is very, very quick. As Aaron pointed out, we saw this gemara the other day together. We'll just do the top of Yechesim Aleph. Minyas Hashem, Blin Erev Motzei Shabbos. We'll learn one more time together Motzei Shabbos, and we'll finish the parak. Very excited. We'll finish the parak Motzei Shabbos together. It says Mishnah: Eino kosev lo aluach lo al niyar lo al diftera. You should not. You don't write the Megillah Sota on a board of wood, on a wooden board, and not on a niyar. Niyar is like some sort of like you take like papyrus, like grass, and you put together, you glue it together to make this something that could be written on. You don't write the Megillah Sota on that either, and not on diphtro. Diphtro is like the hide of an animal that's not been worked properly. It's not been properly worked by the different ingredients that make it a better thing to be written upon. You don't write a Megillah Sota on that either. El Megillah, you write it on cloth. Megillah, you write it on parchment. Shnemar b'sefer. As we said, b'sefer, we quoted that earlier. Aaron quoted it earlier on, b'sefer. It's also a drush we had earlier on, b'sefer, with the gittin. You don't write a get only, even though it says sefer regarding a get, you don't only write it in a get. Here you dafka write it on parchment. V'eino koz l'bekumus, l'bekantum, l'bechol davar sheroshim. El b'dio, you don't write, that's probably what you write on. What you write with, you don't write with kumus, which is like sap of a tree. You don't write with a kankantum, which according to Rashi means vitriolo. I don't know what that means, but it's some other type of item that could write things down, but I don't think it gets erased so easily as a point. And not any other matter that would be davar sharoshim, that makes an impression, that engraves. You don't write something that kind of like it engraves it into the cloth. It's got to be on top of the cloth. Only dio, only the ink they use for a sefer Torah. Why? Shnemar umacha. It says in the pasuk you're supposed to erase the Megillah Sota. It's got to be ksav sheyuchal limchos. It's got to be ksav that you're able l'himachos to erase. And therefore, these other items, other inks, do not erase well. And therefore, if you put them in the water and you want to erase it in the water, the ink, it will not come off properly. And therefore, you do not use those other types of inks or writing equipment. You don't write on a sap. You don't use this kind of kantum. You don't engrave. You got to write it on a deal with ink that will come off when they dip it into the waters. Okay. Amarava, Megillah Sota Shakasa Belaila Psula. You don't write Megillah Sota at nighttime. Puzzle. My time. Why? Asir Torah Torah. We have Xer Shava, the word Torah. Ksivach, it says by Megillah Sota, it says, V'asala Kohen, es kol Torah Zos. The Kohen does this entire thing. All these laws, the word Torah is used, though, to describe it. The Kohen does all these laws describing the writing of the Sota. Uksivas says over there, by judgment, al pia Torah she'erucha, referring to the story of going to the Beis Din Agadol of Yerushalayim, al pia Torah she'erucha, v'al mishpat she'emrucha, al mishpat. So we have here, al pia Torah she'erucha, v'al mishpat. So we have over here the word Torah and the word mishpat in the same pasuk. And just like mishpat means judgments. Judgments are done, but the courts convene in the daytime, not nighttime. This pasuk over here is describing the Sanhedrin Gedola in Yerushalayim. So too over here, we want to make sure that the Sota also has the same rules for Torah. Where else do we have the Sanhedrin Gedola of Yerushalayim? Where we had that before? Do you remember? Who's my hero today? Who's my hero?
What'd you ask?
What else do we have? The Sanhedrin Agadola B'Yerushalayim mentioned. I see Aaron. Aaron's giving me a hand. Aaron, what do you got for me?
In the beginning, where we take the woman to the Sanhedrin Agadola.
Which part?
No, in like towards the beginning, in like the first part, when we took the woman to the Sanhedrin Agadola.
Good. That's one thing. Excellent. One area we had it mentioned was that we take the woman there. Another little less well-known. There's a second mention of that Sanhedrin Gedola B'Yerushalayim. Who remembers? I'll be so proud of you. It's a hard one. Also, first parak towards the end. But I think, I have to pick myself, make sure it's true. I think it's true. We mentioned somewhere We did. About Yisro's grandchildren being the Sanhedrin. Have it somewhere, guys? Anyone? Someone? Yes or no? Maybe Yud Aleph in the Bay somewhere there? Yud Aleph?
Yeah, when Yitro left the council.
Oh, he left the council. Very good. And we said as a reward, his children, his grandchildren, whatever, his descendants learned in the Sanhedrin Gedola. Where was that? What daf was it on? Daf Yud?
No, I'm checking.
Daf Yud, Daf Yud Aleph. Maybe Yud Aleph, Malaleph. Yeah, Lishkos Agazis. Very good. Daf Yud Aleph, Malaleph. Excellent. Yisro sat by his grandchildren, his descendants sat by the Lishkos Agazis, which is the way since Sanhedrin Gedol Yerushalayim. They sat over there. Very good. Okay. Good. Back in our Gemara. We're almost done. Says Gemara over here. We have the word discussing the Sanhedrin Gedol going to Sanhedrin and get Pesach Halacha. HaTorah Asheruchav al Mishpat. There is the Mishpat. There's Torah. Mishpat's daytime. Torah also is daytime. And therefore, when it says Asala Kohen, it's called HaTorah Hazos. This whole discussion of writing the Sifrei, the Megillas Sota, is done with the word Torah, which is daytime. A few more laws, then we'll stop. So Ma Mishpat B'yom, Af Megillas Sota B'yom. Kassel Mafreya Psula. If I write it out of order, meaning if I write in the, again, if I write in the letters of the Sota, the Megillah Sota, I don't write the right order of the Psukim, or even the Pasuk itself, I put it out of order, that also is Pasul. Now, wouldn't you think that would be obvious? Wouldn't that be obvious to you? It's not written properly. So the answer is not so obvious. Why not? Why is it not so obvious?
Because it's the same thing at the end of the day.
What's that?
Maybe because it's the same thing at the end of the day. It's the same words.
More than that even. Right, I mean, Yosef, if I wrote the same for Torah in the wrong words, but the same words, you would definitely say it's puzzle, right? Same for Torah, puzzle, like, wrote the same words. Why is it different over here?
But the same actions are going to come out of it. It's either going to be she dies or...
I'll say even more than that. More than that even. You're erasing it at the end of the day. You're putting the letters in the water. You're drinking the same words. You're drinking the same words in the end, right? They're all coming into your body. Who cares how they're written? They're not drank in order. They're erased in the thing. I drink the whole thing. So why should it matter? In terms of matters. Right, my friend, right? Where is it possible to say because of us? Alos ha'ila. Ha'ila means these, which means ki dichsibi. The way it's supposed to be written is how you have to erase them. You write them the way they're supposed to be written, and that they erase that way as well. Kasva kodem shetakabu alei shvua psula. If you prepare it in advance for this lady, you write it in advance before she actually says, "I swear." Vishbi'a kohen. Before you write that would also not be okay. And the reason why, if you look in the psukim. The psukim describe, it says the word v'kasav es halos ha'ila, two psukim after it said that she promises. She promises first that she didn't do anything at all. And two psukim later, it says you write these things down. So if you write in another order, it's possible. After all, it says, shenemar yivishbia, first she swears, two psukim later, v'achakach v'kasav. Kasva igeris psula. If you write it as like a letter, instead of as a book, as a sefer, it's possible. Igeris, says Rashi, means you don't do what's called sirtut. If you look at a Sefer Torah, you'll notice like lines engraved in the parchment. You'll notice there are lines engraved in it. And the letters are written like by those lines. It's called sirtut. If you write this Megillah Sota, you don't have sirtut there. You don't have those lines. It means it's written like an igeris. It's written like a letter, not like a real parchment, like a real script. Then it's puzzle. That's B'Sefer Rahman. Torah says B'Sefer. And Sefer means like a Sefer Torah. And one of the rules of Sefer Torah is it has to be engraved. It has to have like not the words engraved, but the lines are scratched into the actual parchment. Kusval shnei top of your kusval alpha. We're top over here. Kusval shnei dapim psula. If you write it on two pages, it's puzzle. What this means dapim is a machlokas. According to Rashi, it means like columns. If you write it in two columns, that would be puzzle. We know when it comes to almost all the Torah, there's exceptional hazinu is an exception, but besides hazinu and of course az yashir, it's written down in one column per like it's written in one column. It's written in one column. It's not columns like thin columns. It's written in one big paragraph form columns. According to Tosafot, suggests that's really two actual part. If I write in two parchments, if I take parchment, I kind of take two pieces and I put them together. I kind of glue them together and I write down. I'm covering both parchments. That wouldn't be okay. It can't be shleidapim that way. So either way, either means it's got to be one big column at a time, not smaller columns. Make it one column like you find it in the Torah, like you know the way the Sota is written in the Torah, or it means not two separate pieces of paper, two separate pieces of parchment. If you do, it's puzzle. It says one book and not two or three different books. Because of os achas umachak os achas. Because of os achas umachak os achas. Psula. If you write one letter at a time, right? One letter, erase the letter. But I write in the right order. One letter, erase it. One letter means never a time when the whole thing is written on the parchment and then erased. I write it in piecemeal and erase it one at a time. Let's say my parchment wasn't so big. So I write it, and whatever I can fit in there, I erase it. And I have a whole new sheet again to write on. I write and erase it. Doesn't work that way. The Kohen should write the entirety of this thing. Okay, we're going to stop over here. The next part is me, but Rav is going to ask a number of different questions. We're going to end up in Tekus with these last few questions and go back to the Gemara for our last mission of the second parak coming up and finishing the second parak as well. So top of Dafi's Hesma Aleph. Kol HaKavod, boys. We're going to do this again, Motzei Shabbos. I'm not sure what time Shabbos ends, but I'll give you a text before Shabbos ends. Probably take about a half after Shabbos ends, so you guys still have time to if you want to go out and visit the Kotel and help ladies across the street and other Chassadim Motzei Shabbos and Yerushalayim, a lot of things out there. I want you to have the opportunity as well, of course. So we'll make sure to do this right after Shabbos.